It is a privilege for me to be part of preaching in chapel, especially going through the epistle to Titus. There are many things as pastors that we can learn from these epistles. Today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 15 alone. Before that, we need to understand, brothers, there are three books of the Bible that pastors and future pastors should read and meditate on. Those are Paul's two letters to Timothy and Paul's one letter to Titus. God has decided to write these letters for pastors. In them, he wrote the duties and responsibilities of pastors and the qualification of pastors and elders, even church planters. These are syllabus for exams in ministry, in our lives. These are the guidelines for our ministry life and personal life as pastors. When you are planting a church, you need to read Titus, how the planting of the church works. You need to read Titus. When you don't know how to lead and how to administrate the church, you need to read 1 Timothy. You can understand very clearly when you read 1 Timothy. But when you are facing hardship, difficulties, that time you need to read 2 Timothy to sustain your ministry, to lead your life, to glorify Christ. Brothers, these books are so essential, are essential to pastors. That's why we call these letters as pastoral epistles. What is your favorite book in the Bible? Everything is God-inspired books. But as a pastors, you need to say, the essential books, important books, my favorite books in the Bible are epistles to pastors. So we are doing that. That's why we have chosen to preach, to teach on these epistles, because these things are important for us. We turn to our text today, Titus chapter 2, verse 15. Again, we can understand what Paul is saying in this verse, especially these words only to preachers and teachers, what the responsibilities of teachers. Titus chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Before I thought that we can combine this verse with verse 13 and 14. But when you think about this verse, that there is much to talk about from this verse. Initially, I thought what I am going to teach and preach on this single verse, but after preparing this verse, but there are more to talk about. There are things I deleted. I don't want to talk now because time is less. See, the word of God is rich, right? If you think about this single verse, that we can learn the essential qualities of a teacher. The theme of this verse that I have given is the essential qualities of teacher. Because look at verse 15, it says, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, let no one disregard you." These verbs are commandments. Paul was commanding Titus to do these things. One who does these things is a teacher who has a good quality. We know, right, our action shows who we are, who that preacher is, who that person is. Then look at verse 15, part B. It says, "Let no one disregard." Even this refers to another quality of teacher, how a teacher must be. Most of the time we hear, right, brothers and sisters, people praise and want to become John MacArthur, want to become Martin Luther and John Calvin. One of my friends put his child name as John Calvin. I heard people put names of John MacArthur, right? People love to put a name after these teachers. But one thing I want to draw your attention should be why these preachers, teachers are excellent, great preachers. Because they have qualities, the essential qualities they have, which is given by Jesus Christ. They have these essential qualities. That's why they became great preachers. Through them, God saved so many people, right? So nothing wrong to imitate great preachers, but why they became great preachers? Why God is using them? Do you want to become like them? But this message is so important for you. You need to understand the qualities, the essential qualities of a teacher. Here we have two essential qualities of a teacher that we must have. The first essential quality of teacher that we must have is being an effective teacher. Being an effective teacher. You can say being a fruitful teacher, a good teacher. It says, right, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove all with all authority. An effective teacher does not teach the truth only, but also exhort and reproves. If you want to become effective teacher, you need to do these things. Because Paul is asking these things. These are commandments. But here we have three marks of an effective teacher. The first mark of an effective teacher is he teaches the right content. He teaches the right content. You cannot be an effective teacher if you don't preach right content. What is the right content? The scripture, the truth. Look at, he says, these things you speak, these things you exhort, these things you reprove. That means, brothers and sisters, these things refers to things that he told already to Titus. In broader way, it refers to what he is going to tell in his remaining letters to Titus. So, Paul commands Timothy as well to teach and preach these things when he taught to Titus, Timothy as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 2, part B, he says, teach and preach these principles. So we need to understand to become an effective teacher, a fruitful teacher, how John MacArthur and Martin Luther and John Calvin, how they are doing effective, how they have done effective teaching, because they were preaching the right content. They are preaching the gospel, the doctrine. Here I want to say, based on these words, two contents that he teaches us. The first content that he teaches us is the personal duties. You can say ethical duties, personal duties. Because Paul is focusing on those things, right? If you read chapter 1 onwards, he is preaching, teaching duties of different people in the church. Especially, he talks about the duties of elder and pastors. He says appointing other elders in the church, this is duty of a pastor in local church. Then having a holy character and holding fast to the faithful word. So this is the duty. Titus has to teach these things. Duties of elder. Not only that, the duties of old men and women. Titus chapter 2 verse 2 to 4, he talks about, you Titus, you don't stop. Whatever I wrote to you, the duties of older women and men, you teach them. You teach them. He says older women are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. so that they may encourage young women. The older women, they have to fulfill their duties. So for that, you Titus, you teach these things. You teach them. And also you teach young men and women. He talks about Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. I don't want to review everything, but whatever I taught to you, the duties of younger women and older women and younger men, you teach them. Then he talks about duties of slaves as well. Titus chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. So these things don't stop. These are commands, right? These are commandments from Paul. You need to preach again and again, again and again. The second content that he teaches us to be an effective teacher is the precious doctrine. You need to teach personal duties and also you need to teach the precious doctrine. Because Paul is focusing those things. Some precious doctrines that Titus must teach. For example, the grace of God, which is manifested in Christ's first coming, right? Chapter 2, verse 11. Just before this verse, he says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Preach the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of salvation. Preach about the second coming of Christ. What he is going to do for you and me. Chapter 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And he talks about kindness of God and mercy of God. Are you seeing the content of preacher, content of preaching? Two things, the personal duties you need to preach, at the same time, the precious doctrine you need to preach. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, the necessity of teaching doctrine and at the same time, a necessity of teaching duties as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4 says, why we need to teach doctrine? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. You know, the danger is there. Danger is there, brothers. If you are not teaching doctrine, what will happen? People are running after false teachings. People are believing myths. They are turning to myths, it seems. These things are happening right now, right? Not only in Paul's days, even these days, people are running after wrong doctrines, false teachings. Even that happened in Galatian churches, right? Where false teachers were teaching another gospel. Paul wrote a letter to respond that heresy. Paul teaching doctrines in that situation. He is commanding Titus to teach them. You teach. This is a command. This is not option. If you read that verb. Brothers, we need to teach and preach grace and godliness as well. Doctrines and duties. Titus commanded to do these things. Two things. Even sisters, what is for me? Even you, mostly you will be involved in Sunday school and teaching ladies, women ministry, doing women ministry, but even you should know these facts that you need to teach duties and also doctrines. So, the danger of not teaching both doctrines and duties, we need to understand. If you teach only the doctrine of God's grace, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, what will happen? His word will be humiliated. Because you are not applying his doctrine. If you only teach duties, then what will happen? People will become legalistic. That depends on their works. So you need to balance. You need to teach doctrine of God, grace of God, and also you need to teach the duties, godliness, which comes from grace. As we read last time, chapter 2 verse 11 and 12. What happens if we teach both doctrine of grace and duties of godliness? Brian Chappell, he said like this. I like his quotes. What he said is, we will be accused of promoting a license to sin on one hand, and we will be accused of being legalists on the other hand. But we must not cease from making the message of grace and godliness. We must not tolerate a gospel divorced from grace, nor a grace that abandons holiness. May we so powerfully believe and proclaim the love of Christ that affection for Him drives out the affection of the world. If you are preaching love of Christ, if you are preaching grace of Christ, what will happen in that result? You will lose affection of the world. You will get holiness. So don't think that if you are preaching about God's grace, somebody may say that you are preaching about grace. People are living in sin. They may say that you are promoting license. Don't feel bad when you are preaching about God's grace. When you are teaching about the duties, godliness, people may say he is heresy. He is doing heresy. He is legalistic preacher. But don't feel. But you need to balance. See, I am not making these words. Paul is doing that. He is teaching doctrine. He is teaching at the same time duties as well. If you read Romans, he teaches doctrine first and he teaches duties. If you read Galatians, if you read Ephesians, Colossians, most of his epistles, he teaches doctrine, he teaches duties. As a teacher, our content should be personal duties and also the precious doctrine as well. Then only you can become an effective teacher. Then only you can become effective teacher. If you are teaching your own words, if you are teaching your own ideas, if you are teaching your thinking, psychology, whatever it is, if you are teaching the things of the world, you cannot be an effective teacher. You cannot be a fruitful teacher. You may like John MacArthur, you may like great preachers, but you are not following in their steps. You are not following what Paul has done. The second mark of an effective teacher, he is skillful in all aspects of teaching. Not only he teaches the right content, he is skillful in all aspects of teaching. This is second mark of an effective teacher. Why? He says, speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Some preachers and teachers are good at giving information and they are academics. You know, these are professors. That is good. There is a place for that. When professor come to, especially Pastor Sam, he teaches more things like heresies and doctrines, theologies and history, everything. But when he comes to the pulpit, he doesn't bring those things right. You are witness for that. So there is a place for that. But some people just at the pulpit also, they want to give more information. Don't give more information. You are taught right. What you are being taught, you need to throw out 80% of your studies and preach 20% of your studies, at least 30% of your studies. So we need to understand you must be a skillful in all aspects of teaching. Some teachers are good at exhorting, comforting, urging people, but they are not good teachers. They cannot explain things properly, but they can beg, they can urge. Some teachers are good at reproving believers, and false teachers always scolding. You are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. They don't want to encourage, they don't want to explain from the text. But what I am saying is, what Paul is saying, Titus, you must be a skillful teacher, you must be a skillful pastor who is expert in all aspects of teaching. You need to bring all aspects of teaching. Don't be expert in only one thing. As a pastor, you need to do everything right. You need to be skillful in all aspects of teaching. But An effective teacher is skilled in all aspects of teaching. Pastors must be skilled in three aspects of teaching, because it says speak, exhort, and rebuke, or reprove. It is a present imperative, which indicates the need for an ongoing emphasis of each person in his ministry. It is not like sometime you exercise this ministry. No, you need to exercise an ongoing process. It is a command for action to be continued. The idea is make this your habit. Train yourself in this. See, if you are a teacher, going to be a teacher, you need to train yourself in this ministry. That is being skillful in all aspects of teaching. Even 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 says, Paul commands Timothy as well, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. The same thing he is speaking to Titus as well. Again, we focus, what is the meaning of, what are the meanings of these words? Three aspects of teaching. The first aspect of teaching is explaining the truth. He says speak. Speaking refers to normal talk as well in Greek, but it also refers to teaching, instructing. Why I am saying the same word used in Matthew chapter 13 verse 3, Jesus spoke to them about many things using parables. Jesus spoke to them. Here Jesus was teaching them, right? In that context, that was not normal talk, but teaching. Paul says to Titus to teach. It is not like general conversation. It is like proper teaching, proper instruction. A pastor must teach, explain the scripture to others. It should be done in ongoing state, regularly, continually. Titus must explain or teach all teachings of Paul. You know, we know, right, one of the qualifications of elder is he must be able to teach. He must have that skill. For that you need to study, for that you need to prepare. Not only preparing a sermon, doing syntax and block diagram, after that you will get outline, then you add all shepherding elements and explanation. After you got your sermon notes, but you need to prepare yourself, how you going to explain to the congregation. You may have good notes, but you need to prepare yourself how to present. That is also skill, right? That is also skill. Mostly it is given by the Lord. You need to prepare yourself to teach the things of the Bible, important things, to the congregation. When you think about secular world, even lecturers and professors in university, they prepare themselves how they can teach, how they can present. Even your presentation is most important thing. You should not confuse people, right? Sometimes when we are listening, in my small experience, few years experience, if someone is teaching, I want to sleep sometime. What happens? He is not good in teaching. He is not explaining the truth clearly. So here Paul is saying, explain the truth. You should be expert. You should be skillful in explaining the truth, teaching the truth. Because that is your job, right? That is your job. You need to improve that. You need to work on that. Are you doing? Are you preparing your mind before you are going to teach and preach? I know you are preaching so many sermons in preaching class. Are you preparing? After you got sermon notes, are you preparing yourself? How I am going to present? How I am going to teach? So that people may understand clearly the text, the message of God. The second aspect of teaching is, the first aspect of teaching, explaining the truth. Second aspect of teaching, encouraging weak. Look at verse 15. It says, exhort. Speak, second verb, exhort. The literal meaning is to call to one side. Para kaleo. You know, kaleo means you call, and para means side. Call to one side. It refers to urge strongly, appeal to, urging And encouraging, even it refers to admonishing. To understand this word, you can remember one guy, if you are going out of railway station, especially whenever I go to hometown, when we are coming out of railway station in Tirupati, there are some gadis or hotels there. Before, when we are coming, they will come to us. And first, what that guy does, he takes our bag. He takes our bag and he calls us, come to our hotel, come to our hotel. No, we don't want to eat, we had breakfast. No, eat again. You come. So children are hungry. Something, that guy urges, it's somehow exhorting, urging, calling his side, calling us in his side. That is the idea Paul is using here. As a teacher, as a preacher, not only that, anytime, think about beggar, how he urges. After his urging, no, but you want to give, right, something. Looking at his face, how he urges. The same idea is he exhorting, urging, encouraging people in your teaching. In your teaching. Paul says to Titus, not only he must explain doctrines, duties, but also urge, appeal, encourage believers to accept the truth, to live a godly life. Don't explain always, but you need to urge sometimes. You need to beg your church members. When you know the people are struggling with some sins, you know that when you are preaching that, you need to urge them to have godly life. This is also part of your teaching, right? This is one of the aspects of your teaching. Titus chapter 1 verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort, then he talks about refute those who contradict. So he's talking about exhort, urge people in your teaching. Brothers and sisters even, be expert in urging your people, encouraging your people. You can't urge someone if you are not doing it, if you are not believing it. The third aspect of teaching is exposing error and sin. Not only explaining the truth, not only encouraging weak, and also exposing error and sin. Look at the word reprove. The Greek word reprove implies exposing someone's sin or errors to bring correction. You are exposing things. Paul commands Titus to reprove in his teaching and preaching. It is a command for action to be continued. Again, it is present continuous tense. It is talking about train yourself in it. Don't always train yourself in explaining the things, urging the things sometimes. But you may not like this word. Sometimes you need to try, not sometimes, continually you need to train yourself to reprove, to expose the sins and errors of the church members or people. Whenever you see sins and errors, he should expose them in his preaching and teaching. All pastors should train in this aspect of teaching. So there is no option. Don't feel happy. See, I am very happy to explain the things. Some pastors are so happy to urging people. That is good. But don't neglect this aspect of teaching. That is, you need to correct people. You need to expose their sin. Two key things a teacher has to expose in his teaching. The first thing is doctrinal errors. If you see someone is preaching false teaching, your people are listening to him, maybe he is coming, he is living in your city, but he is teaching false doctrine, but that time you need to expose that teacher, that preacher is teaching something wrong. Don't believe. So that is your duty as a pastor, as a teacher. Titus chapter 1 verse 9, he says, he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine, to refute those who contradict. Those who contradict. That is your duty. Don't think, this is not my job. That is your job. You are a shepherd, under great shepherd, right? You are shepherd. Shepherd does. A shepherd protects his sheep, right? If you are a shepherd, you need to protect your sheep from false teaching. Expose doctrinal errors. Not only that, expose personal sins as well. The sins of the people. Titus chapter 1 verse 12 says, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Then he says, verse 13, this testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. You see, Paul is not adding new things. He is telling same things again and again. You need to expose doctrinal errors. You need to expose the personal sins whenever you see. One of my heroes in history, the great preachers, one of them is, he is my hero. He is Martin Luther, who exposed, who preached the sermons, who explained the truth very clearly, who explained, who urged people to follow Christ. Not only that, he is the best example of being skillful in all aspects of teaching. He teaches, he explains the truth clearly, he urges people, and also he exposes sins and errors. No, right? Martin Luther, he exposed sins of Pope and doctrinal errors of Pope. He says, they call him, you need to recant of your things, whatever you wrote. He says, in front of Pope and everybody, he told that, unless I am convicted by the scripture, plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Do you have that courage to expose doctrinal errors so that you can not to promote yourself, not to show up that you know Bible, to protect your flock, to protect your sheep for Christ's glory? Brothers, these preachers are effective preachers because they have turned ministry for Christ's glory. Whatever happened to them, Martin Luther may die after saying these things, but he said, I don't want to recant. I want to trust, I want to believe, I want to preach whatever the scripture is saying. If someone contradicts the scripture, I will fight. I will fight. I may become enemy to them, but I will fight for the true doctrine, true doctrine. That's what Paul is saying, commanding Titus. You need to teach. You should have all aspects of preaching. Brothers, whenever you preach, you must expose doctrinal errors and sins. Sometimes you know, and congregation know, when you are preaching verse, word by word, what happens? Somebody knows he is preaching about that person's sin. But text is demanding, you tell it. Don't make it smooth. When text is demanding, you preach, expose, so that they may repent, they may glorify Christ. One Puritan says that a pastor should comfort those who are disturbed because of their sins and disturb those who are comfortable in their sins. Start disturbing ministry. Start comforting ministry. While you are teaching, you need to disturb some people because they are so happy in their sins. That is not glorifying Christ. You need to comfort those who are weak and repenting of their sins. You need to balance, brothers. The third mark of an effective teacher is he teaches authoritatively. Not only he explains, he teaches the content, not only he is skillful in all aspects of teaching, and also the third mark of an effective teacher, he teaches authoritatively. Paul says, speak and exhort, reprove with all authority. Look at the phrase with all authority, which refers to the manner of teaching. In syntax, you can say genitive of manner. It is talking about how you preach, which manner you are going to preach. Paul is commanding Titus, he should teach in this manner. You should not have any other manner, brothers and sisters. Only this manner you should have, especially you are being teacher. That is with the manner of all authority. All authority. Sometimes what happens, if someone is preaching, he is not preaching with authority. Just he don't know what to say. Sometimes they trouble, right? Sometimes maybe pastor, professors, they have more experience. Sometimes the weak brothers will come, but after they became strong, because after knowing this truth, we should not be afraid of people, right? But sometimes we are afraid of people, what people think about us after teaching this truth. But you should not think about your authority. You are nothing. You are representing Christ. You are representing Christ's authority. He teaches authoritatively. To understand this word meaning, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, he says, I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love also. He says, I am not speaking this as command. It means Paul is not commanding them with this authority. But here it is used. Paul commands Titus, he should teach with all authority. He should teach in this manner, in this manner. How can a preacher teach with all authority? How can a preacher, a teacher, authoritatively? When he understands, his teaching comes from the apostle teaching. We know, right? Teaching comes from Paul, an apostle. Who taught Paul? Jesus. Jesus taught scriptures and truth to Paul. Paul is writing to Titus. So, when you are teaching the scripture, you have authority. You have authority. You are representing Jesus' authority. He preaches and teaches authoritatively because the message is directly from Christ. The scripture is written by God, God alone. Even Jesus preaches authoritatively, right? So we need to understand how to preach the scripture. The greatest preacher is, a prince of preacher is Jesus Christ. Somebody wrote a book on it. The prince of preacher is not Spurgeon, but Jesus Christ. After Jesus, Spurgeon. We accept the truth. But even look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? It says 29, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Scribes are teaching without authority because they are adding masala in their teaching. But Jesus is not adding masala in that teaching, just he is preaching his word. His word has authority. His word has authority. Those words were given to Paul. Paul wrote these words. When you are preaching the words of Paul, you are preaching the words of Christ. So you have authority. The authority is not coming from you, who you are. Authority is coming who Christ is. Who Christ is. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are representing Jesus Christ. You are not representing yourself. That's why you remember whenever you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, all prophets, what they say, thus says the Lord. Whenever they say, thus says the Lord, that shows authority is coming from Jesus. God is speaking these things. That's why I am able to speak with authority, with all authority. With all authority. So don't preach with timidity, with fear, but you know your weakness. Everyone has their own weakness. So authority doesn't mean that you should shout always. It doesn't mean authority, but authority means you should preach. This is real. This is true. I am not speaking my words. I am speaking Christ's words. That's what Paul is encouraging. Be an effective teacher, Titus, by knowing the authority of Christ. By authority of Christ. Two reasons why he teaches authoritatively. I can summarize it. His message is from the apostle teaching. His message is from Jesus' teaching ultimately. Paul teaches authoritatively. Jesus teaches authoritatively. Why do you like to preach in a manner of fear and timidity? Wherever you go, maybe big shot may come, part of your church member. He is rich fellow. Civil officer may come to your church, but you are a small person who rides scooter and whatever, you are nothing, you have nothing. But when you are preaching word of God, whoever sitting in front of you, don't fear of anybody else. I can give you another example. Pastor Chris, he told one time, he went to one big church, like Bada church, all educated and rich people come to that church. He has seen their actions, their things, their belief. He told, you are going to hell. The introduction of his sermon is, you are going to hell. Because he has that authority is not coming from him, coming from the Bible, coming from Christ. When you know the truth, whoever is sitting in front of you, whoever comes, whoever part of your church, in future church, but you are representing Christ. You are representing Christ. Don't have timidity. Don't have fear when you are speaking the words. One pastor said, keep your resignation letter in your pocket on every Sunday. They may throw you out. Let them throw. You go and plant another church. But you need to speak the truth. Don't compromise with the truth. If someone is asking you to do wrong, preach wrong doctrines, believe wrong doctrines, then run away from that church. I hope you won't get those kind of church, but it happens. When it happens, but you should be a courageous person who can stand for Christ, how Martin Luther stood for Christ. Paul preaches authoritatively. You need to preach. Christ preaches authoritatively. You need to preach. The second essential duty, quality of teachers that we must follow. The first essential quality of teacher is being an effective teacher. Then we have seen three marks of an effective teacher. The second essential quality of teacher is being a respectable teacher. Or you can say being a blameless teacher. Being a respectable teacher. Look at verse 15 part B. It says, let no one disregard you. Simple translation is, don't let anyone look down on you. In this context, this quality is connected to teaching ministry of a teacher, a pastor. Disregarding Titus is nothing but disregarding his teaching as well. While he is teaching, while he is preaching, no one should disregard of him. No one should look down on him. So he is giving another quality that you need to pursue, you should have, that is being a respectable teacher. The literal meaning of this word disregard is to set oneself in thought beyond a person. To exalt oneself in thought above one person. It means to despise. It means look down. What Paul is saying here, Titus, some people may look down on you. Some people should not think they are higher than you in any ways. If you are a teacher, if you are a pastor, you should be excellent. You should be a model to everyone. No one in that congregation, no one in that society come and say that, he is not, I am better than him. Have you heard any time people are saying about believers are better than pastors, or outsiders are better than pastors because of their lifestyle, because of their teachings? We heard, right? We have seen many times that what Paul is saying here, so you become an expert in teaching. At the same time, you must be respectable as you are teaching in the congregation. The idea is his teaching will be ineffective, blamable. People will not be listened to his teaching because of these things. There are two things that can make Titus be disrespectable before men. What are those? In that context, we can say not preaching the truth accurately, clearly. When you don't know the word of God, then people will disrespect. Do you agree with me? If you know how to preach the word of God, brothers, what to preach, how to preach, and how you live out your preaching also matters. If you are not preaching truth, if you are not preaching authoritatively, if you are not living according to what you preach, then people look down on you. They will despise you. This is fact, right? When we are not following what we are preaching, but there is a temptation, right? Because we are speaking, we can give more instructions, application. But sometimes we can disobey what we are preaching. So sometimes what we need to do, it is a good to go back all your sermons, all your application, and think about whatever you preach. Am I applying those things in my life? When you are applying what you are preaching in your life, what will happen? He doesn't speak, he follows and he teaches. Then respect will come. When you are not godly, what will happen? People will look down on you. When you are not teaching properly, people look down on you. The idea is here, again it is present imperative. The idea is Titus should not let anyone look down on him, an ongoing state. Paul is not saying that sometimes don't let anyone look down on you, other times okay. Sometimes they can look down on you, other times okay. He's not saying that continually, ongoing state, this is your lifestyle. Whatever you preach, you are doing it and you are preaching the word clearly, clarity. I know many times, I am not a great preacher, I know that, but whenever I preach the text, but sometimes our church member comes, thank you so much, I understood that. See, something like that, when you are teaching the text clearly, clarityly, then people think about, they will respect what you are doing. They don't disrespect of you if you are doing your job rightly. But when you are following the word of God, that the more respect will come. More respect will come, more than that. Look at the phrase, interesting, no one. Let no one, right? The idea is all comes under it. It could be a true teachers, false teachers, believers and unbelievers. No one. No one means no one. See, sometimes people may blame us unnecessarily. But ultimately everyone will say he is a respectable teacher. He is a respectable teacher. And Paul is not commanding others. See, think about these words. Paul is not commanding church members, don't look down on Timothy. Don't look down on Vikas. Don't look down on that preacher. He is not saying that. He is speaking to Titus that let no one disregard you. This is your job. This is your job. You need to do it. You need to do it. Even 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Let no one look down on you, your youthfulness. But rather in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself an example to others, those who believe. Again, same thing. He is not changing his message also. He told to Timothy, he told to Titus, both are young, all of us are young. We need to understand, we need to follow these things. A father, Paul, who is elder, who is mature, he is urging Timothy and Titus, you need to have that quality. You are happy, right, teaching the word of God, but you should be happy by following it, by following it. Two essential qualities of a teacher that we have seen, being an effective teacher, being a respectable teacher. Are you willing to pursue these qualities as a teacher or as going to be a teacher? John MacArthur, who is a Bible expositor, who has preached the whole New Testament and some books in Old Testament. He has been a pastor and teacher of Grace Community Church for more than 52 years. And he was president of Master's Seminary. He preached more than 3,500 sermons, more than. He preached his first sermon in 1959 outside a bus depot when he was 19 years old. He has been an effective teacher for many years. He is a respectable teacher as well. He is an effective teacher. He is a respectable teacher because God strengthened him. He wrote more than 150 individual books and articles. He involved in editing as well. He has also distributed more than contributed more than 30 multi-author works. His publications have been translated into more than 24 languages, for example, French, Romanian, German, Korean, Telugu, Hindi, so many languages, 24. His MacArthur Study Bible has sold more than 1 million copies, receiving a gold medallion book award. He received gold medal award because the book was sold. Bible study has been sold more than 1 million. In 2021, a Duke Divinity School did a survey and they asked pastors, what three authors do you read most often? They concluded that John MacArthur was among the top 12 for Protestants. A similar 2025 study by the Barna Group concluded that he was one of the six authors who had the greatest number of influential books listed by pastors. Those are 2021-2025. If someone is doing survey, he will be one of 2-3 preachers. Why God blessed him like that? Because he pursued a quality of a teacher. Because he loved Christ, he obeyed Christ, he trusted the authority of Bible. That's why God used him to influence so many people. One of the reasons, no, you are here because of through his ministry, because of his effective preaching, and he's a respectable man as well. But if you put his name for your sons, okay. But I don't want to encourage those things, your wish. But what I want to tell you, brothers, have these qualities of a true teacher. God will use you. Don't seek after those big things to become big shot. God will make you big shot if he wills, if you are faithful. Whatever it is, pursue these qualities. Paul is asking Titus, and he believed it. Whatever Paul wrote, John MacArthur, he understood, he believed it. He has done his duty. God is using him even still. God may help us. God may give us strength to pursue, to have these qualities for his glory. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for calling us to serve you, Lord, in the church. Lord, who we are? We are wretched sinners who deserve to be in hell. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins. Not only that, thank you, Lord, for setting us apart to do your ministry. Lord, make us faithful. Lord, make us an effective teachers in our church. Lord, make us a respectable teachers. Lord, so many times, Lord, we may be effective teachers, good teachers, but our life should match our teaching, Lord. For that, we need your grace and mercy. Lord, bless these brothers and even sisters. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.